Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Okay, here we go on the Solid Man map of masculinity. Wait, it's not the map, it's the whole thing. So we're going to be talking about the second chapter. This is actually lesson 18. And so mastering your masculinity, lesson 18. This is about tension, paradox, and the cornerstones of masculinity. So in the part of pillar four, we've explored a number of concepts regarding masculinity. We looked at how our culture sees masculinity. We tried to set a few parameters for how we define masculinity, as hard as that is. Now, in part two, we're going to look at two central contexts, tension and paradox, in which masculinity exists, and then the four cornerstones upon which masculinity is defined and developed upon the paradoxes. So, the first category, tension and paradox. So we will begin our discussion of masculinity with the context within we find ourselves. I'll be laying out the constructs of the ongoing and ever-present existence of tension in our lives and the two paradoxes that exist which create that tension. So these realities are central to understanding the essence and being of solid masculinity. We had also talked about healthy masculinity, mature masculinity, and so that's what we're going after. So, tension. So this is a definition from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So tension is an inner striving, unrest, or imbalance that's often with psychological, physiological indicators of emotion. Second one is a state of latent hostility or opposition between two individuals or groups. It's a balance maintained in an artistic work between opposing forces or elements. I think that's a good one because you think about good artwork usually has some kind of reaction from your internal. When you see something, you're moved or you're maybe confused, and it's that tension with good art. It's the act or action of stretching or condition of being stretched to stiffness. It's two balancing forces causing or tending extension. It's the stress and resulting from the elongation of an elastic body. I don't know if you guys remember Stretch Armstrong when you were a kid. That's that one. So that's tension. Tension is definitely something, it's a stretching thing between two forces. So tension is that sensation or condition of stress or opposition. Tension is at the very core and essence of masculinity and manhood. Being a man, actually even being human, requires that we live in the fullness of the tension that exists, because we live in a world that exists in tension continually. For the exercise of uncovering the deep aspects of masculinity, we must understand that humans live in tension. The very central context in which masculinity is designed, matured, and experienced is tension. We're continually stretched, challenged, and tested in this world, and we must accept that condition if we are to live in the fullness of our great masculine soul. Tension is the core and the context of masculinity. So on the map on here, I have the start of it, and there's nothing on here except for the very, very center. It says in tension. So if you have the map in front of you, just look at it. Intention is at the very, very center of this thing. So, tension, the inescapable center of the masculine life. The map of masculinity begins with the idea of intention directly at the center. We all live in tension all of our lives, and it's important to intentionally stay in tension. Most men are uncomfortable with tension, and we do everything we can to avoid or pull the plug on it. Staying in tension is how you will grow as a man. I had just done more about the void and initiation. So that's part of the whole thing of tension is a good initiation. So that's how you're going to grow. It's how you're going to mature. So as we talk about mature masculinity, healthy masculinity, that's how we're going to grow into it, is tension. Tension is that thing that's in the air when someone speaks the unspoken, or the awkward silence, or the moment before you hold someone accountable, or the moment after you hold somebody accountable. It's the moment you question, what is going on here? Often you can feel it as sexual tension, as uncertainty of where a moment is going to go. Increases, the tension increases. It's why it's hard to get up in the morning. It's when you have no idea what the outcome will be. Tension is what makes good stories, movies, or books. It holds your attention. Tension creates attraction and connection when you experience it with someone. So the first tension element is nature and culture. The first point of tension is the crossroad between our nature and our culture. We kind of talked about it last time on that nature-nurture graph. You know, where does masculinity sit? Tension is the in between those two things. I've alluded to the fact that masculinity and being a man partly is nature. We're as much of nature as the elusive wapiti or a beautiful kestrel. Happens to be two of my favorite animals. Our DNA is in us as much as it is any other animal or plant, for that matter. We are designed to live in nature, and nature is inside of us. The tension comes from the fact that now we live in culture. Culture is not necessarily natural. Culture is a human design to keep out the chaotic forces of nature from harming us. The best illustration of nature and culture to me is the Netherlands. The Dutch engineers have held back one of the most powerful forces of nature at bay. With their minds and ingenuity, they have kept the forces of the ocean tides from reducing their land to just a salt flat, which would be under the water most of the day. Consider how a culture is designed to keep nature at bay. Whether it's consistent electric service, running water, warm heat in the winter, cool air in the summer, a roof over your head for dry, supermarket shelves full of food, we have created systems which hold back natural forces. But we are nature. Culture sets itself against any natural phenomenon that seems to be destructive or negative to itself. Culture sets itself against nature. That's what culture does. It exists to keep nature's dragon of chaos at bay. This is why one reason it seems like culture is pushing so hard against masculinity. Masculinity is an awesome and powerful force of nature. Masculinity and chaos have had a beautiful dance throughout the ages. Our legends and stories talk about men slaying the dragon, defeating evil, or conquering huge obstacles. This is what men do, creating environments of thriving and beauty. We have been created to defeat chaos and create systems of well-being and bring about culture. But now we live in a time where masculinity has worked itself out of a job. In the first world, men have done too good of a job, creating and maintaining a world of security and safety. We've pushed back chaos to a degree where we rarely experience it. And when we do, let's see, Hurricane Katrina, the Indonesian tsunami, the fires that we've had here in Colorado. We are shocked that things like this can even happen. We should have known, and we should have made something happen to keep it from happening. But that's nature. Now it seems like masculinity is dispensable, and we don't need it. When we were reliant on low-tech agriculture or needed men to fight and die in low-tech warfare, you know, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, culture was glad to have masculinity at its disposal. Literally. Here's a quote from Jack Donovan that speaks to the whole thing of culture. Masculinity is a hammer seeking a nail in a house that's already been built. Jack Donovan. I think that quote really speaks to where we're at now. We don't have frontier. We don't have places where our strength and what masculinity provides. Masculinity has done a great job creating culture. Now it seems that in this culture, we don't really need masculinity. Culture, quite ungratefully, has begun to engineer ideas and shaming boundaries to keep men and masculinity restrained or even eliminated. Our strength and power are no longer needed, so what do? This is a great aspect of tension. How do we maintain a strong presence of masculinity while integrating into our culture in mature masculine ways? We are now just a utility, keeping things going and afloat. We maintain and support. There's not much building, exploring, or expanding going on. Or maybe what, the whole idea of going to Mars and all that, that's about the only place we have to go yet. It's pretty much just keeping everything all together and working. It's just be a utility and everything will run just fine. Do your duty and keep it all running smoothly. The blogger Dalrock puts it this way. Feminism is the assertion that men are evil and naturally want to harm women, followed by pleas to men to solve all of women's problems. Unquote. This is actually the absurdity in which we live. It's a man's job to keep it all working so that everyone does just fine, while at the same time being labeled as toxic. In the future, there probably will be a day when the shit hits the fan, or Armageddon happens. Then everyone will be ready to embrace masculinity. But for now, it's just our destiny just to sit and hold fast in preparation for that day. Is that what our destiny is? So, in recent movies showed dystopian futures. Usually, what happens is a tiny badass young woman dominating the scene, a 110-pound babe smashing a 245-pound musclehead to the ground. We all actually know how that would really end in the real world. And in reality, we all know that if things really fall apart, we will need men. Could there be a vision for a masculine person to live with presence, strength, confidence, and mastery without the apocalypse? Is the best we can do is just sit around and wait, holding fast to our masculine self with hopes that one day it's going to be useful? This actually is utility thinking at its best. But Solid Man creates a vision for masculinity that transcends utility. Solid Man exists to develop millions of empowered men who have significant influence with their families and community, where men are an ongoing force for good and beauty in the world, that masculine presence will change all aspects of the well-being of people and the planet. Just because we're here and we are empowered. Sounds like a kind of an audacious goal, millions of empowered men. I would love to see it. So the tension element number one is integrating our natural masculinity into our man-made culture. That's a really tough balance at times. Tension element number two is the void. I've spoken at length about the void in pillar two, embracing the void. But our lives as human beings are profoundly lived out in the presence of uncertainty, limitations, emptiness, and the ever-haunting specter of death. We live in the void, and it is inescapable. Of course, as you learned in Pillar 2, we do millions of things to avoid the void. We learned that our initiation into manhood depends on our decisions to embrace any void construct that exists in our lives. and move through it with intention and persistence. Remember, the void creates powerful, confident men. The void creates tension, and it actually is tension by definition. Since I've spoken at this at length, here we'll just be reminded of the powerful context of the void in our lives as a great source of tension. So tension element number two is embracing the void is essential to living in tension, and it brings about growth in your life like nothing else. Tension element number three, time and space. The third contextual element has to do with categories of immanence, or the here and now. Awareness of the limitations of time and space are essential to learn how to explore and experience masculinity. So time waits for no man, and it keeps ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. There is no escape. We will age. No matter what we do, we will continue to move to the next moment. We have no control over time. All we can do is be conscious of the present and make choices in the present and experience the present. Being present in the now is required in order for masculinity to be experienced in its fullness. Presence is the essence of being masculine, being here now. Space is another major limitation. Spatial realities face us every day. Gravity, matter, energy, etc. We are limited by the concrete forces around us. At its core, masculinity is very aware of the physical nature of our world. The masculine is very physical and aware of strength, pleasure, obstacles, challenges, force, and all the other categories linked with space. To fully understand masculinity, you must understand how it interacts with the physical world. Our tension here is simply that we know we are bound in time and space, that we are vulnerable to disease, death, and the loss of the things that we love. Our awareness of potential disintegration of all things, real and meaningful, coupled with the desire to live, thrive, or even just survive, is a powerful part of ongoing tension. It's a major pitfall not to live in the present. When we worry about the future, fear is something that may happen. Regret from the past or paying penance from the actions in the past keep us from living in the present. So tension element number three is accepting the limitations of time and space, and that creates healthy tension and opens us up for possibility for play and adventure. Tension element number four, source and abundance. The fourth element of tension has to do with categories of transcendence, or those things that seem to be way out there or beyond the here and now. We all start life thinking we are the center of the universe. As we mature, we realize that we are part of something much greater than ourselves, that there's something going on in the universe that totally transcends us, that are way beyond us, that we are not the center of the world. Well, I guess some of us. Some of us still hang on to that with as much as we can. Remember, this world is not what it seems. The journey of discovery needs the ability to see behind or through what seems to be obvious. Allow yourself the opportunity to begin to see what's really happening around you. So step through the wardrobe, take the red pill, go down the rabbit hole, walk into the wilderness. Do whatever it takes to allow yourself to see beyond, so you can break free from the limitations of whatever mindset is enslaving you. Here's a clue. We're all in a battle for freedom. A certain kind of matrix does really exist that binds the hearts in men and desires to keep masculinity from freedom. You feel the tension even when I say that? Here's a quote from one of my favorite bands, Pink Floyd. It's, "Welcome, my son, to the machine." It's like, man, when I heard that, it's like, what the heck's going on? So we're caught up in a story that we're being told. But there's so much more that's beyond. So much more. What is that something or someone that is the source of life? That's why each man must find his source, the place from which true life comes. Since life is so much bigger than you, to become the man you've been designed to be, you must find your source. Since we anchor to the source of true life, we are then ready to build solidness in our lives from a place of humility and gratitude. Since I've spoken on this on Pillar 3, I won't go into too much more depth here. Just know that your source is a huge part of tension. A posture of humility and gratitude is necessary in order to fully experience the journey of the discovery of masculinity. You are not the end-all, but you have been invited into a life like you've never imagined. One of the greatest perversions of humanity is a life centered only on itself. The Latin term for this is incurvatus in se, a life folded inwardly upon itself. This pattern is seen in sociopaths, narcissism, non-empathetic postures, and even the nice guy and asshole jerk to a degree. Masculinity in its fullness is best described as excurvatus se, or a life turned outward. C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. When you are able to balance those two, inner and outer, you're moving ahead. Masculinity is fully expressed when it's internally referenced and externally expanding. I'll read that again because this is a big deal. Masculinity is fully expressed when it's internally referenced and externally expanding. You'll find this on the map. So, our world is full of abundance, which provides so much wildness, beauty, goodness, and engages fully with your masculinity. You are along for the ride, and your masculinity is the activator for full enjoyment and experience of that ride. When we live in scarcity, as opposed to abundance, our lives become small and inward. With scarcity, there's never enough. With abundance, there's always enough. Living with an abundance posture, while anchored to your source, will be a core posture for us to maintain while we live in the tension of life. You will find how powerful your life can become when it's expansive and turned outward. Often, when men hear the language of a masculinity turned outward, that we are primarily supposed to live for our woman, that's what they think. While women are a significant part of our lives, they are just part of it. They are not life itself. If your woman becomes your purpose, your drive, or your primary focus, where she is life, your life will be very, very small. We will discover the expanse of life is so much greater than your woman. So tension element number 4, maintaining a life of anchoring in abundance, are avenues of navigating tension. So just being alive creates tension. You've been born into a situation, a family of origin, a certain culture, a specific historical moment that brings the tension in that moment. You've been born with your specific limitations, with your abilities, IQ, gender, finances, and looks. You're a certain race, which depends on your specific culture and moment of time. It's either a bonus or a detriment. Life is not fair, and therefore it's not for the faint of heart. The masculine thrives when things are not fair. I'll say that one again. The masculine thrives when things are not fair. Sorry. The masculine thrives when things are not fair. I like that flair. When it's not fair. Tension of any kind of obstacle or resistance you may have in your life. That's what tension is. It's an obstacle or resistance. The void creates these obstacles and resistance with uncertainty, limitation, emptiness, and death that's guaranteed and provided to you in abundance. Being masculine requires you to embrace this tension and resistance. This is how a masculine being lives. It's developed, strengthened, finds maturity, and eventually masters his own life. Like the void, tension creates strong, confident men. A masculine soul develops, gains strength, and matures in tension. The fact that life is not fair is a truth that tension will be your guide throughout your life. As a masculine individual, embracing tension and allowing it to be central to your experience is where our masculine soul develops and takes flight. Now let me introduce some very specific categories of tension that you knew were there, but may not have had words for them. But before we do that, here's a few questions. What areas of tension are you good at, and which ones are you not so good at? What's some of your favorite ways to drain the tub of tension in those tense moments? Some of us do humor and some of us withdraw. What's your favorite way? What could you do to hold fast inside of those tension moments more? And what have been some of your favorite experiences in tension? Now we're going to talk about paradox. So, the two paradoxes. Now I call these the two paradoxes, but if you're Brian Regan fans, it's Paradoxen. I don't know, he's a comedian that makes a joke about how plurals are pretty crazy in English. Oxen, moose, mice. Anyway, paradoxen. So the paradoxes are the two most significant elements of tension in the life of any man. Actually, it's in life. These are massive paradoxes, massive areas of tension. So for our creation of a definition of masculinity, and as we develop our map of masculinity, we will place tension at the very center, and the two paradoxes span out from the X and the Y axes. So in the very center is in tension, and then from the horizontal is a paradox, that's the X axis, and the vertical is the Y axis. We're going to find the tension at the very center of those paradoxes. So masculinity is expressed and defined by concepts that seem counterintuitive. Now, this is a big reason why true masculinity has been so elusive. Most of what we experience, or what we've been told about masculinity, is only from one of the two poles. Therefore, a very limited or only a partial view of what masculinity is. This is true especially because what has guided us for the most part so far are the external expectations instead of internal realities. So we've only seen true masculinity in part. Much of our culture seems to desire the elimination of tension, as though everything needs to be non-binary in order to be acceptable. This thinking is rather absurd, since life and nature are binary in just about every way thinkable. You have dark and light, life and death, strong and weak, conservative and liberal, are even beautiful binary dance. Masculine and feminine, one cannot exist without the other. So paradox describes the condition where two truths seem mutually exclusive and exist at the same time. That's what a paradox is. Since the binary nature of the world often exists in paradox, any true idea of masculine nature requires the exploration of the two main paradoxes of living. The two main paradoxes of living are risk and relationship. That's where exploration of masculinity starts. The two main paradoxes of living are risk and relationship. Since masculinity exists in the tension of paradox, we must explore the paradoxes to fully experience masculinity. There are two primary paradoxes which we'll explore to help understand masculinity. That would be the relationship paradox and the risk paradox. So embracing paradox creates tension, and tension makes life fun. So these paradoxes represent the deepest tension in which masculinity exists. To understand masculinity, you have to understand this tension. The masculine is called into four seemingly irreconcilable points at each present moment. It is in this tension that masculinity is developed, it's defined, and it thrives. The men who do all they can to escape, to divert, or reduce the tension of life will never experience the fullness of masculinity. So men who embrace tension will find their soul and then begin to master life and masculinity. Because it's so important, I'll say it again. The men who do everything they can to escape, divert, or reduce tension in life will never experience the fullness of masculinity. The men who embrace the tension will find their soul and begin to master life and masculinity. As men, we are called into four irreconcilable points of tension at every moment. Let's see, to make this more understandable and memorable, using the paradoxes, we will map out a simple structure as we define masculinity. I will use an XY axis chart that shows the central concepts of masculinity. So you may have this in front of you, or you may, if you're listening to this, you may want to grab the chart. Hopefully I've made that available for you. If not, just let me know. I can send it to you. The first one we're going to look at is the x-axis from left to right, the horizontal, and this is the risk paradox. The risk paradox represents the fact that life is all about risk. As much as we might want to hide or escape it, the truth is this: life is uncertain, the future is unknown, and you really don't have much control over your life at all. This is the void we've talked about before. Life is risky, full of peril and danger. Every time you step out of your door, you are taking a gamble. Actually, it's even more dangerous to be inside your house rather than out your door, as most accidents happen inside the home. What we want to do here is balance the risk versus reward equation to make sure we are accomplishing what we want and need in a very wise fashion. So danger and death are everywhere. You cannot escape risk. So again, from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the definition of risk is: one, the possibility of loss or injury, peril; two, someone or something that creates or suggests a hazard; three, a chance or loss or the perils to the subject matter of an insurance contract, or the degree or probability of such loss, or a person or thing that's in a specified hazard to an insurer, an insurance hazard from specified cause or source, the chance that an investment, such as a stock or commodity, will lose value. So notice that risk is peril, potential loss, or hazard. It means I could lose something valuable, be rejected, or even die. Risk is tension, and tension is risk. We can do all we can to decrease risk, but it will always be crouched at our door. Life is risk. Security, for the most part, is an illusion. Since more accidents do happen inside of homes, even getting out of bed is a risky endeavor. Stepping down the stairs, getting in and out of the bathtub, using a ladder, driving your car. Things we do every day are some of the most riskiest parts of life. We become numb to those facts because if we dwelt on the danger of those things, we would logically never even get out of bed, which coincidentally, we would end up dying. Sorry, let me read that again. Where, coincidentally, we would end up dying. Harvey C. Mansfield says this: manliness is confidence in the face of risk. I'll say that again. So his book, Harvey C. Mansfield's book, is actually called Manliness. And so his quote is, "Manliness is confidence in the face of risk. Risk is an essential part of life. Therefore, it's a core part on our map of masculinity. The risk paradox is a powerful aspect of human life. So it's one of the two central structure lining out this map. Risk is one of the two most powerful aspects of living, so it's the x-axis on the map. So, risk paradox is high risk and low risk concurrently. On the right side of the x-axis, on the right side of the x-axis is low risk. On the left side is high risk. In the center is our good friend intention, the experience and context that exists as we live out life while embracing those two truths, that life is both low risk and high risk. Even though the category of risk is central to masculinity, and men throughout the ages have been purposefully engaging in risky behaviors, risk is usually not specified as a primary component of a man's life. However, to really understand men, you must understand how men interact with risk and how risk is central to masculinity. Consider all the ways that men engage with risk. Sports, challenges, adrenaline seeking, engaging with nature, dangerous work, pushing limits, exploring the unknown, initiating sex, entrepreneurial ideas, investing in markets, facing rejections are all aspects of risk that men do every day. On the right side of the risk paradox is low risk, where we see men enjoy the security of knowing that we have a certain level of strength, where we hold down the fort or secure the perimeter. It's a man's nature to spend a significant amount of energy creating a peaceful environment where everyone is safe and secure. We, as men, will use strength in any form: intellectual, financial, physical, volitional, personal, cunning, intimidation, whatever, in order to provide low-risk environments for ourselves and those we love. The low-risk side of the paradox I call fortitude. Men pursue fortitude. It is what we do. Strength and security are good. Fortitude is good, but it's only half the equation. Many men live on the secure side, the fortitude side, the low-risk side, because the other side, the high-risk side, has to do with vulnerability. And vulnerability often seems like death. This is true. Vulnerability does push into the fear of death, because it is high risk. Sometimes men choose to embrace vulnerability, but usually we are thrust into it when we can't avoid it. And it's here that we find out who we truly are. The world of high risk and vulnerability is where we find out our greatest fears about ourselves and where we settle the questions as well. Am I a coward? Do I have what it takes? How will this end? Embracing vulnerability is essential to developing and discovering your true masculine heart. Embracing vulnerability requires courage, wisdom, and intent. There's not a man in the world who looks down on courage. As you'll see, courage is one of the cornerstones of masculinity. So vulnerability and courage are on the high-risk side of the x-axis, on the opposite of fortitude. And our strength, and this is part of the paradox, our strength is only developed and realized in our courage. Even though life is uncertain, death seems to be at our door constantly. We feel vulnerable often. The world is still amazingly abundant in the depth of our experiences, and when we face our fears and push forward with courage, we experience the most amazing things that life have to offer. So consider your experience when you faced risk in a position of vulnerability. When we asked our future wife out for a date or to marry you. When we took a shot to win the game. When you actually went out for the team. When you took the new job or interviewed for the new job. When you confronted your boss. When you asked for a raise. When you drove too fast. When you signed up for the real poker tournament. When you stopped a bully. When you asked your dad about his mistakes. When you said what you were feeling. When you said what you needed. When you stood up to someone. When you confessed a wrong and asked for forgiveness. When you said what needed to be said. When you set a boundary. When you told the truth. When you told your secrets. When you said what you actually believe. When you jumped off the rock. When you climbed the rock. When you hiked into the wilderness. When you faced your demons. When you said, I am proud of you, or I love you. When you stood in the way of danger. When you yelled no, or just calmly said no. When you told your mom, when you told your mother that something was not okay with you. When you told your story to a good group of men. When you shared your lunch with a homeless brother. When you held your woman accountable for her foolish behavior. Or when you just held your woman. When you gave away your last dollar. When you asked for help. When you raised your hand. When you said hello. When you went to the doctor. When you went to a counselor to unpack your childhood trauma. When you let fears flow. I'm sorry. When you let tears flow at your granddad's funeral. When you said, I was wrong. When you were discouraged but kept going. When you heard your alarm clock and got up one more time. One more time. It doesn't matter what you believe about vulnerability. Any way you slice it, we are vulnerable often in life. Maintaining masculine strength and security in life is essential. And facing vulnerability with courage is where true masculine strength is expressed and developed. We love the videos of men doing insanely risky behavior, like flying in a wingsuit through a small archway, or insanely fast motorcycle racing on the Isle of Man, or even the exciting pull of NASCAR or UFC. We're intrigued and we respect the fact that some guys have the balls to do that. We look up to those who have the nerve to start new businesses and start stuff from scratch, from just an idea or just a vision. Wisdom does have a big part to play here when we talk about risk. Is the behavior just stupid, like Russian roulette? That's just gambling with your life. Or is it a good calculated risk that is dangerous, but still just play? The fact that I might die is what makes things fun. I personally have known a number of men who have died rock climbing and some who died in skiing accidents here in Colorado. It's dangerous stuff. I really respect that they were out there doing what they love. That's what makes for a passionate life. If they were not doing what they were doing when they died, they would not have been living life to the full. And that is what we desire. Those things are risky, and they're vulnerable. They place a man in a very precarious and vulnerable position. Whether we experience it in an exciting, risky behavior, or at times in our primary relationship, vulnerability is a primary aspect of masculinity. The risk paradox means that we are strong, fortitude, and vulnerable, courage, at the same time. That's why it's a paradox. Fortitude and vulnerability at the same time. Low risk and high risk. That's why there's intention in the middle. The development of the risk paradox in our lives combines two aspects that seem like oil and water. But if you think about it, they really fit hand in glove. The tension that's created between high-risk and low-risk experiences in life is one powerful place where masculinity is discovered, defined, and lived out. The risk paradox recognizes the fact that healthy humans are at once strong, that is, holding low risk with incredible fortitude, and vulnerable, that is, bearing high risk with openness. We are at the same time strong and vulnerable. This is the risk paradox. Risk provides the masculine with a true playground of real living. The next is the relationship paradox. This paradox requires that we understand and recognize that we have been born into relationships. Our relationships often define us. Relationships are why we have been made, and relationships are what moves us forward toward true, mature masculinity. We cannot escape the fact that we have been designed for a relationship. It defines a central aspect of our humanity. So the relationship paradox is the y-axis going vertical from top to bottom on our chart. Today, it seems like science recognizes this fact that most of the natural world exists in relationship. We exist in a world where molecules and particles and animals and chemicals and people and systems interact with each other at all times. Whether it's atoms, energy, body parts, riparian ecosystems, or meteorites plumbing into the gravitational field of the Earth, everything is in relation to something else, and somehow to everything else. Relationships are everywhere, and just like we can't escape risk, we cannot escape relationship. As humans, we are inherently relational. Whether you believe it is because of the way our species naturally survived over millennia, or this is the way we are because we've been made in the image of a relational God, it's kind of irrelevant. It doesn't really matter what you believe or where it came from. Relationship is real and a very central aspect of being human. It's one of the most significant categories in our lives. And so again, I'm having fun building the love between creationists and evolutionists. Relationships provide a context for survival. Relationships meet deep internal needs. Relationship creates cooperative human systems to increase well-being. Relationships force us to grow up and to mature. Where relationship becomes a powerful aspect of tension is that it exposes the two most powerful human drives, autonomy and connection. Those two drives create the other significant paradox, the relationship paradox. So two most human, powerful human drives, autonomy and connection. We'll get more into that. The relationship paradox recognizes the fact that healthy humans are at once connected. They're part of a relational co-op, a family, community, country, and at the same time, autonomous. They are an individual differentiated being. We're at the same time attached and detached. This is the relationship paradox. Makes sense how it's a paradox. You're attached and detached at the same time. So the relationship paradox means we're attached and detached at the same time. We're at once connected and autonomous. So at the bottom of the y-axis is detached or autonomy. On the top is attached or connection. On our map, on the relationship paradox, is the y-axis. On the top of the line is relationship paradox, is attachment. That's our connection with other people. On the bottom is detachment, which is autonomy, or our ability to differentiate from others. Even reading the words attachment and detachment probably creates tension and some questions with you. And like I said, these are the two most powerful drives in any human's life. The drive to be connected and the drive to be differentiated are inescapable. That defines this paradox, and these two truths exist at the same time. How can we live with both of these simultaneously? This is the relational tension that masculinity is developed and revealed. This paradox also describes the two most significant fears of every human: abandonment or absorption. Our two greatest fears are abandonment or absorption. Abandonment is the fear of being rejected, left alone, or not belonging, not fitting in. It's the fear that I will be alone in the universe. This fear is the one fear that drives just about every unconscious human decision or action. As you move toward maturity, knowing this truth will guide you well. You'll see this really clearly. This fear exists because we have a deep desire and need for connection. It's essential for human surviving and human thriving. The fear of abandonment exists because we need attachment. Absorption, on the other hand, is the fear that myself or my being will be lost and I will no longer have any power to be me or to move with freedom. It's the feeling of being sucked into something that will take away your sense of you. This is why someone would be hesitant to commit to marriage, or why it's difficult for some to pull out of their family of origin system, because they've been sucked in so deeply. This fear exists because we have a deep desire and need for autonomy. There are many men who, as boys, were forced into a relationship with their mother as what's called a surrogate spouse. The father was deemed as distant, possibly abusive man who did not meet the perceived needs of mother, so she opted to use the son as the one who met those needs and to have someone to hold her pain and protests. The son becomes the golden child, or mama's little man, or any variation thereof. The point is, he loses, or never had, his own self. It's always been fused. His being, his person, his identity is fused into the mother. A similar dynamic happens with both parents if both parents are absent. The child becomes the parentified child, becoming an adult figure at a young age and caring for the younger or more anxious siblings. This, too, is losing themselves and being absorbed into a system that needs them to be a certain role. In these types of scenarios, it's essential that you do the work to detach and begin to build your own true sense of self and identity. The fear of absorption exists because we need detachment. We need autonomy. A significant part of developing a core of masculinity is to balance the two urges of connection and attachment with autonomy and detachment. The majority of relational problems occur with the imbalance of these two concepts. We usually get into situations where we have too much of one and not enough of the other. We may become codependent, fused, or overly connected to others in a very needy way. Or we may cut off, withdraw, or stonewall relationships, keeping people at arm's length, or even across the country. A balance between these two drives is healthy and very central to healthy human relationships and is essential for healthy masculinity. Our drive for autonomy is the need to be fully and freely who you are with your own true authentic self. It's to be differentiated from others as you discover who you are, what you want, and what you need in life, and begin to identify and pursue your own passion and purpose in your life. A drive for connection is the desire to belong. Connection with others is one of the most profoundly pleasurable experiences that life has to offer. Belonging, companionship, touch, interaction, support, Those have all been proven over and over to be essential needs of human existence. Healthy relationships require the balance in the tension of autonomy and connection. Your relationships are the perfect context for practicing being who you really are. As you start developing integrity and being truly yourself, you will place yourself in a position to attach to others without losing your sense of self. So attach to others without losing yourself. The balance of these concepts varies between different cultures as well. Some cultures are very strong on the side of community or family. There's a kind of social identity where an individual, to varying degrees, is absorbed into the group. Other cultures lean toward the side of individuality, where your own identity and pursuits are more geared toward personal desires, not necessarily for the good of the group. Regardless of your cultural background or family of origin, you will experience the tension with living in balance between these two concepts. Build a balance between autonomy and connection. It may feel daunting to start being who you are and saying what you need. You're changing the system, and people may not like it at first. They may push back. Actually, they will push back. But you must hold on to your integrity. This is one of those counterintuitive paradoxes. Developing your solid identity is the only way to experience true relationship and intimacy. So with your cultural variables, how does this play with the heritage that you've had in your life? It seems that the perception of masculinity is that men are not very relational. They're more on the autonomy side of things. It's a stereotype of the strong silent type or the love 'em and leave 'em playboy type. These are just caricatures of imbalanced, immature masculine. The truth is that men are equally as relational as women. We just do relationship like a man would do relationship. Our goal for true masculinity is to develop a healthy balance between connection and autonomy. This is what the relationship paradox is all about. So without the relationship or risk paradoxes, the masculine would not be much. We wouldn't even know what it is. The masculine soul is actuated, developed, and thrives within these two beautiful paradoxes. We live in a world of risk and uncertainty. Therefore, we must navigate life with the balance between power and courage. We are relational beings, and the balance of autonomy and connection is essential to the development and expression of the masculine. So this is the end of lesson 18. I hope you got a good sense that our map is based on risk paradox and the relational paradox, and the tension in between those things. So here's the group reflection questions. What do you think of when you hear the idea of intention? In what ways are you uncomfortable with tension? How do you usually pull the plug when things get tense? In what ways have you engaged in tension and things went well for you? When you consider the risk paradox, where are you strong with low risk and vulnerable, high risk, at the same time? And how does that fit in with what you've been taught? With the tension that exists with the risk paradox, in what ways does that seem doable, and what ways does it seem like a really huge obstacle? And as you think about the relationship paradox, in what ways have you been stuck or caught up in one side or the other? What do you think of when the challenge is as much leaning toward detachment as attachment? Which of the fears, abandonment or absorption, has been more significant impact on your life? And what are other thoughts and insights from this chapter? So I just think it's really important just to really think through. This is the center of all that we're going to be talking about about masculinity. And a lot of people don't think vulnerability is a part of our masculine being. What you're hearing from me, it's a pretty significant piece of it. But it's with balance, with fortitude. And so let's continue our conversations. And as always, stay solid, my friends.